live.
Fuck it, we're doing it live.
With Fine Dime.
And here we are. Morningwood Radio, formally rebranded, here to party sports. First time, second time on the show, Mr. Ryan Kent, winner of the first majors, High Rocks, Chicago. How are we doing today?
Kent.
What's up?
You're rich, dude. You just made $6,000.
My Ooh. Life has changed forever. I can't believe it.
Can I just ask you a quick question? Because it just blasted in my mind and I'll forget if I don't say it. Have you heard about this new Infinity race that's going to have an $80,000 first place prize by Tough Mudder in Abu Dhabi?
I did see that, dude.
Are you going to throw your hat in the ring?
Should we do it? Should we just like give up the
High Rocks dream?
High Rocks and just go back in on the mud run game, 8 hours.
I love mud running, dude. I say this all the time. If it wasn't for David Watson, I'd still be in mud running. David Watson, if you're watching this, I hope you fall down a flight of stairs, you piece of shit.
I don't think he's running the show anymore.
Really, really?
Yeah, that's what I heard. I think he's still partnered with Joe in some capacity, but he's not in the same role that he was with Spartan. I don't know for sure, so don't come at me, David. That's not the case, but
why? You're a David fan?
No, I'm not a David fan, but like I don't want to be putting shit out there if it ain't true.
Oh. Well, I hope it's true. You piece of shit. Other than that, you know, you just won $6,000 and like that's got to feel great. Like is the value of the cash more important to you or is the win?
The title itself?
If I'm being 100% transparent here, it was the money. The money feels better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I don't want to. I mean, we can get personal, but the reality of the situation is that I lost my job a few months ago and I needed to make a decision in that moment about my future because I'm married, I've got a kid, and it's like, what's going to be the best path for me to make a living? And I really just had to take a hard look at myself in the mirror and be like, yo, if you're going to do this professionally at the highest level and try to make a living and support your family doing it, then like, you've got to go all in, dude, like all in, you know, like no stone gets left unturned. Like we're going to take the nutrition seriously. We're going to take the training more seriously. And, you know, so this win was really all about just to continue to support my family, man. And
pay
the bills.
Dude, I had the reality conversation with myself. I didn't mean to cut you off. Sorry.
No, you're good. You're good.
No, I had to have the reality conversation with myself. I mean, like I have been crushing it in this sport and I made $19,000 last year from it. Like it's not like I'm not hustling outside of the circle. And like, I was going to talk about that today. It's like how you've become more of an athlete entrepreneur rather than just an athlete. Like all of us have had to now all of a sudden change our environment and our lifestyles. We're getting older. People are starting families. You're having to create different ways and tweaking your lifestyle so you can keep this effort up. And it's not like it's getting less competitive, but the amount of hours in the days that we have, what we used to have back when we lived in Durango on air mattresses and we eat Oreo cookies and there was not very many bills and not many people to look after. Like I have a whole staff I have to pay for every single month now. Like when the 1st and the 15th hit, I'm shitting my pants. And for you, dude, same exact thing. You got the family, everything. It's intense. And that's why I asked right away. I was like, is that money more important or is that win more important? And it's an honest answer. It's a hard answer to have to answer.
And like I put that, I'll admit, I put that pressure on myself going into that race to win it for that reason. You know, my wife was like, try not to think about the money, like blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, I'm not going to not think about it. You know, but you know, thankfully when you're in the race, you kind of just black out and you're not even, the only thing you're thinking about is taking one more step forward. I wasn't thinking about, oh, like, I can't wait to have all this money, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, bottom line is as I needed it. And I put the pressure on myself to perform. And despite feeling that, like, the weight of that on my shoulders, I still went out there and, like, handled that business. So,
well, congratulations, man.
Yeah, dude, big congrats. I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed because we were doing the commentating live, and, like, you know, there was somewhat of, like, a, I don't know if we had a shit signal or if it was just their version of filming, but we had no fucking clue that you were in the race.
The camera angles. The way they had the camera angles, Ryan, it was panned out, like, on one of the balconies. And then all of a sudden, we're like, where'd Ryan go? Oh, he's being lapped. Nope, Ryan's already on the run, and all the rest of the guys are still on the first station.
Yeah, we were giving out bad information. We were saying just, like, I was like, oh, shit. Like, Ryan's getting lapped already going in.
How is that even possible? How, on a two-lap course?
Dude, we didn't know. It just didn't make any sense because I was just, I don't know. Maybe you just had a really terrible race and we're unaware. Maybe you pulled a hamstring. I don't know. Because it didn't make any sense to us. You were not visibly part of the race at all until all of a sudden the sled pull. And I thought you were Ryland, and I was like, man, Ryland's moving. And then all of a sudden he left, and they're like, no, that's Kent. He just left. And I was like, that's not possible. He had to have run a lap short. He was not part of this conversation. And by the time that happened, like, we had no fucking clue. And then you just smoked the field.
Yeah, I was laughing when you guys were just like, did he just get lapped? And I'm like, dude, we're on the third station, guys. Come on.
It was impossible for us to see it. We were really trying to do a good job talking about the event.
What happened was I was in the fourth lane down, and the camera barely had me in it. Like, only on certain parts of the push you could even see me. But you could see, if you were paying attention, you could see me run by on the camera after I finished the push and start going out the thing. But, like, you had to know I was there to really know that it happened. And then, yeah, just – came into the push. Ryland reeled me in on that next run, but that was I came out of the push in the place that I wanted to be in.
What pace did you guys do that first 1,000? Because it looked fast. I was like, dude, I don't know what these guys are doing.
It was quick. And I let them go. I let them go. I was in, like, ninth. Eighth or ninth.
That's ugly.
That's like, you know when it's just doesn't make sense to go, you know. It's like, I'm just gonna do my thing,
dude. Spartan Race, I love those guys that used to go out in their underpants first and just dominate. I just want to give a shout out to some of our fans. We had Jared Beasy, and I still can't pronounce his name. We got Stuart Banks. I have no clue who that is. Noel Radigan, the scariest man in the UK. And the Shiz, who always shows up. And don't forget about Aisha. I love you. I'm about to start traveling internationally. I'm very grateful for the passport case. So,
you know what? Hey, I called you last week, and we talked. Actually, you called me. Let's get the record straight here.
I do. People think I'm an asshole. I do call people, and I do say, hey, man, I wish you the best of luck.
He checked in on me. He checked in on me.
Yeah, it's a kind thing to do. I've got no mal... I have no malice towards people that compete against me. I hope on my very best day, it is your very best day, and we have the most honorable opportunity to compete against each other. It would break my heart if you got hurt or your shoelace gets untied or this or that or whatever the fuck happens or you're sick, whatever the fuck it is. But I checked in on you and you fucking did exactly what you said you'd do.
Said I was going to win and go 55. Boom.
Hey, dude, man. Your first 1K was 2 minutes 44 seconds.
My what was?
Your first 1K on the first run.
Short. The first 1K was short. So then the rest of them were.
However,
354, 359, 4 minutes on the dot, 4 minutes on the dot for run
those
five.
Were your runs?
Yeah, 349 for run six, 4 minute run seven.
Oh, I guess you guys don't have a rock zone.
I didn't slow down, like, at all. I stayed at, like, 4 flat every single time. Like, my run after the ski was 354, and then I never slowed past 4 flat, like, the rest of the race.
So, but that encounters, so when you
it was faster than 6 minute pace, dude, for sure.
Yeah. But that's accounting because you guys don't have the rock zone, so they expand it. So supposedly, High Rocks is supposed to be 8K, including the rock zone. Everywhere you go.
8.7K plus the rock zone.
whatever the measurement is. But I'm saying it's supposed to be consistent across everywhere you go. And so that's why, because there's no rock zone in grid racing, I think that's why you guys had such slow time. So I'm not saying you guys were slow. I'm trying to kind of tell people who are fans why you guys would have that time.
Here's some here's something genuine about Ryan. He didn't even know. Jared says he met you in North Cal. Some maybe a side that we didn't know of Ryan Kent. You made the comment about wearing the house hoodie and super friendly. Legend.
I take every opportunity I can to talk shit on Hunter. I mean, come on.
That's cool, dude.
That's cool, dude. It's gonna come back and get you.
Come on, dude.
Fucking you better recognize I'm coming to chop your fucking head off.
So tell us about what's been going on since World Championships. I'm going to be brutally honest. I know you didn't have the year you wanted last year. Like you didn't.
It wasn't terrible, but it wasn't. Yeah, it wasn't.
But listen, I know you well enough that you didn't want those results. You had not great North American Championships. Then you had a really spicy time. You had a 56. Then you raced Anaheim. You did well again. And then you went to Worlds and you took fourth?
Mm-hmm. Faded from second to fourth.
I know that's not what you wanted. So what happened between then and now? Because you clearly showed up as not necessarily a different person, maybe a different strategy. Do you think you're in better shape? Have you been praying more? What's up?
Actually, like all of the above.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Dude, I did say a prayer. I'm not the religious type, but... like my wife's been praying more lately and I even said a prayer before the race.
Grandpa's rosary beads right here. I travel with them every time.
I believe in that stuff, man.
Gotta keep a little Jesus in your life.
The biggest change would be just that I lost my job, honestly. Like that happened since Worlds. So now it's just, I think I'm just finally treating it like I should have been treating it all along, you know, like maybe I took advantage of some things because I did have the safety net of another job or like whatever the case may be. But I dicked around for like 2 months after Worlds. I mean, I was still working out, but like, I didn't have a plan. It was just like, let's wake up and kind of see what we want to do. And then I went to Dubai for Hyrox Dubai and was not in great shape, but I still felt like I could still go over there and take the win. And I think I went like 59 flat. And on the flight home from Dubai, I started thinking about Chicago. And I'm like, oh, okay, like this is going to be the next big opportunity to make some cash. So I was like, okay, it's 10 weeks away. And on the whole flight home from Dubai, I wrote this 10-week training plan for Chicago. And it was different than anything I had ever done in the past. It was 2 weeks of run progression followed by a hybrid week, and then 2 weeks run progression, hybrid week, 2 weeks run progression, hybrid week, taper week. That was how I approached this thing. And I'd never done this before. But like when I was writing it, I was like, dude, I think if I follow this just every day, just check that box, dude, just do what you have written down. And after 10 weeks, you're going to be in like really good shape. And I started
doubles, high volume.
I did doubles probably 6 days a week. My run volume started at 400s and then it went to 600s and then 800s, thousands, 1200s, miles, and just very small increments of increase in volume. And by the time I got to the mile repeats, I was holding the same pace that I did for the 400s at the beginning of the cycle, but holding it for a mile.
What does that pace look like for you? Can you hold 5 minute mile flats?
Well, no, because I was only taking like 45 to 60 seconds rest.
But just for people who are like fascinated by you.
I up here at altitude, like 530.
It's good.
Yeah.
It's really good.
So, I mean, I was just really confident. I, like I said, I had never done this before, but the signs in training were like, yo, this is working for you. You're really fit right now. And I have a couple one-on-one clients who I was putting them through this same experiment with me. And they were also experiencing the same benefits from it. And now it was just like, let's see if we can do it on race day. And, you know, it's a good sign to know that like what you're doing in training is working, because I'll be the first to admit that like for much of my high rocks career, it's almost like throwing shit at the wall and hoping it sticks, not really knowing what I'm doing, if it's going to help me or not. So now I feel like I have a formula to get me ready for these races. And, so it was just a combination of that, like the training lining up, losing my job, and just like praying about it, you know, and it all just kind of like came together.
Do you think you took enough time after World Championships to like really enjoy life again for a bit?
No.
See, I don't know if I told you, but like I went into the woods. It was supposed to be longer, but then I rolled my ankle, but I went into the woods for, I believe, 14 days and just hiked.
Yeah, I know. You went Appalachian Trail.
Yeah, and that changed my life. Like, I was an angry man when I went into those woods.
Okay.
I was just angry. I'm just like, I'm fucking working my ass off all the time.
And you're coming off of winning another world title, and that's how you're feeling, huh?
Rip shit pissed.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's just like, whatever. Like, I know this sounds fucked up to most people probably listening to this, but like winning means nothing to me. Like it means everything to me and nothing to me. Like it is my life. So it is everything to me. But the actual accomplishment of winning is nothing. Those 300 days leading up to it are everything. The winning is just, it's like some people like baking cakes. Some people like eating cakes. You know what I'm trying to say? Mm-hmm. Like I like fucking baking cakes. Okay, this is the best cake in the entire fucking world. I don't even care about what it tastes like. I already know it's the best cake in the entire world. Mm-hmm. And by the time it was over, I just got there and I was just like, I remember I was out with you guys at the nightclub that night and I was like drunk, but I was just sitting back and I was like, God, I fucking hate this. And it just was all the shit that I had gone through that year. I think I had just put a lot of stuff to the side emotionally, just to stay focused on the task. And it was bubbling up under the surface. And I went into the woods and it was like 100 therapy appointments within that period of time, because I just had to encounter myself. There was no distractions. There was not much to do, blah, 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 blah. And I came out and I actually like, am the happiest that I've been in. I was the happiest I've been in such a long time. And some shit's happened since then, but that's life. Like, I'm not going to sit here and cry about it. Interestingly enough, I got Giardia and all this other shit that fucked my life up massively. So like as soon as I came out of this massively shifting experience, I was put on my ass again immediately. But I asked that question because I think a lot that I worry about with my competitors or just myself even is I don't think people give themselves enough time away to actually enjoy the process again.
For sure. I mean, even like when I got home late Sunday, and then Monday morning, my wife was out the door for work and I'm like with Basin and I'm like trying to juggle or like mentally dissect like what had just happened over the weekend, but I'm thrown back into like father role and I'm like, I can't do both of these things right now. And like, if I can only do one of these things, obviously I'm going to choose being a father. But like, yeah, dude, I mean, I don't really know what else to say. It's just like you think about the 10 weeks that went into that, and like you get those like brief moments of joy and happiness where like you are just on like a different level. You're on this like hot life high that you can't even describe. And then you're like, oh, you know, it's not reality. Like, at least for me, like I can't stay like this. You know?
Oh, dude, as soon as that sweat dries, you recognize, you're like, oh shit, I got to start working again tomorrow, because you're only as good as your last win.
You really are. Yeah.
Hey, yeah. When you guys are talking about like baking the cake versus, you know, eating it or tasting it, do you feel like you have more enjoyment in the process of training and more times where you can think back like, oh man, I remember when I did this, hit this PR in training, versus looking back and the memories of in that 55 to 59 minutes of running world championships? Do you feel like you have more enjoyment and look back fond memories on the training part leading into that, or the fondness of obviously being on stage like you guys are, or more memories within that 55 minute race?
For me, it's the training. Those are the memories that stick with me. I finally went back down to my basement yesterday and did my first workout since the weekend. And before I started the workout, I just like looked around the basement. You know, it's not a big place. It's maybe 20 feet long by like 20 feet by 10 or something. And I just took a minute and just like looked around the basement, and I was just like, holy shit, man. Like, shit went down in here the last 10 weeks. You know, like, it's just, I was looking around and like, I could look at the rower and like, remember like a session that I did, you know, like a few weeks prior, like whatever. So the memories for me, the memories are in the training. And I can't say that I was always someone who enjoyed the process of training. You know, like, I wanted that end result. I just wanted the glory and the fame that came with it. But I think that was just when I was younger and just needed to mature a little bit. And now I'm like at a point in my life where I actually enjoy training. You know, it's fun for me. I feel like I work through just like life shit. Like when I'm training, like I'll just, some days I'm thinking about Hunter and just like, fuck, I want to beat this guy. And then other days I'm on like another planet in terms of like where my mind is. So those moments, yeah, the moments are cool. Like, I love winning and getting on stage and like doing that stuff, but for me, it's all in the training. That's the part I love.
That's cool.
How often are you by yourself?
Every day. Almost every day.
That like sexy, fun, cool training camp kind of shit that used to really happen when we were younger, it's gone now. And I still have training camps where people come up, but it's more like death marches. Like, I'm just waiting for people to fall off. Like, day one, everyone's like, look at this. I got a six pack. I'm like, okay. And then day two, they're like, hey, man, can't wait to PR in the gym. Day three, there's just bodies floating around the house. And I can't do it almost anymore. I can't really pull the training cards off the way I used to, because it's just different. I literally go from the desk you're seeing right now into the living room. I make a mass gainer shake, or I blend up some builder. Come back in here, slap the keyboard, call Ryan, go back, eat some more food, lay in the bed behind you, wake up. I wake up in the morning, go to the gym, then do all that stuff. Then I go take a nap, and then I go to the gym. My commute is literally 100 feet. Like, I just go desk, toilet, kitchen, gym, desk, toilet, kitchen, gym. And it's like, there's nobody else up here.
Dude, and I think that's, like, you have to love it, right? Like, you have to love this shit to live that way. Cause it's not a glamorous lifestyle. Fitness is not a glamorous lifestyle, man. That shit is fucking work, grunt work, day in, day out. And you don't get better unless you work. It's not like, you know, you can not shoot three pointers for a week, but you go into the gym and like your shot, you still got your shot. You know, if you don't do shit for a week in this sport, man, you lose it. So
I went to the Lions Chargers game on Sunday, and I was second row, and I was right behind those guys, and I was just looking at them. I was like, I want to peel you fuckers in half. I was like, I wish I had your life where I just had to put a helmet on and sit down half the game and then get paid millions of dollars.
Doesn't it suck? And we could talk about this part forever, but doesn't it suck to be like 1-2 at something, like, in the world? You're making way more money than I am. You got a lot more business ventures than I do. But like, doesn't it, like, dude, it's like, I'm one of the best in the world at this thing, and I'm barely getting by. Like, that fucking sucks.
It's one of those kind of things, though, where I was grumpy for a long time. I say I'm telling you this story right now where I'm behind these guys and I'm all grumpy, but I look forward to seeing them in a restaurant someday, like 10 years from now. They're like, oh, I used to play football. I'm like, yeah, I used to be one of the best athletes in the world. Now I own a $500 million business. And what do you do? They're like, oh, I'm a junior college coach. I'm like, that's right, bitch. That's fucking right. And you know,
is that the stuff that motivates you?
100%. Like, yeah. I don't look at anything as a disadvantage. I look at it as an opportunity. I see the people who are ahead of me, and then I look how to put the next rung up on the ladder. You know what I mean? I'm like, someone's already there, but I was like, how do I get to the next rung? When I look at supplement companies online, I see one sold for $500 million. I'm going to sell mine for $501. Like, I look at that. And when I race in High Rocks, you know, it's the same exact thing. I'm like, 5407. I was like, 5307, 5207, 51, 50. And I just look at the numbers and I just go like that. And it's the only way we can keep on doing what we're doing. Otherwise, I don't know why. There are far more lucrative opportunities, but I'm a risk reward kind of guy. Like, my version of gambling is racing you guys and business. And
I can relate to that.
You know, this is why, like, probably the next chapter I want to talk to you about, like, obviously, we could talk to you about the stuff that gives you a six pack. We can talk to you about nutrition. I'm sure people want to get into that. But part of the conversation I want to have with you is just like, what does life look like now that you are your own boss? Like, you've always, I know, were dabbling in training. I remember you used to coach people when we were living together. But now, with the growth of High Rocks being so big, like, we have a training company, and I truly think it's amazing work, but that's our style of training. I think there's so many opportunities. There's maybe a dozen major businesses in CrossFit right now that are making over $1 million a year coaching. Like, there's no reason why people like us can't all run companies in unison, coaching people around the world for fitness racing, Decafit, High Rocks. So what does that look like for you now? Like, what's RMR like? What are your ambitions? Tell me about how it got started.
How'd you first get involved with them? Did you reach out to them or they contact you?
Rich and I, and it's all a little bit blurry, but
I blacked out.
Rich and I have become pretty good friends over, I don't know, the last couple of years, I guess, especially once he moved here to Denver and we were able to kind of get together and hang out. And I know he's not Hunter's favorite person, but he's a good dude.
I don't have anything actually against him. I'm just going to make a public statement. You can't sit there and throw stones when you live in a glass fucking house. Dude criticizes shit, and then all of a sudden he doesn't back up his shit. He backed it up this weekend. Congratulations. But he just was throwing stones. He threw stones at me, threw stones at my homie, threw stones at our business. And I was just like, all right, motherfucker. I was like, remember that time you said that Spanish courses were so fucking easy and then you flopped like a bitch? And that's it. Right. I'm just
some
like,
stuff,
I'm,
yeah, yeah. Sometimes
I was
you
like,
got.
I've got a rock in my pocket too, bitch. And that's it.
Yeah.
I don't really have anything against him. Anytime I've actually spent time with him.
He supported OCR Stars anybody.
He did support OCR Stars, but then, truth be told, I heard that he basically was saying that our Hypercom games was just a bunch of fucking chodes and, like, you know, loser athletes competing for something. And I was like, you know what? That's not cool. I was like, you know, some of these people are really trying hard. And it may not be your cup of tea, but it's these people's cup of tea.
I will say Rich wouldn't say that. Rich doesn't even have those words in his, like, vocabulary. But I get it. I get it.
I'll leave it be.
But no, Rich and I became super close. I hated him too, man. When he was winning all those Deca fits, and I was like, yo, dude, I'm coming back. You know this, right? I'm gonna win. We've become friends, and we've talked about joining forces on the coaching front. It was more like we just would small chat about it for a while, and then we kind of reached out. And once we wanted to do this, we reached out to Meg. And it just seemed like a good fit. Her and Rich had worked together in the past too, so they're very familiar with the training. And
wait, does RMR stand for Rich, Meg, and Ryan?
Mm-hmm.
Is this your aha moment, Ryan? Is this you finally woke up to the fucking conversation, Ryan?
I was gonna ask, what does RMR stand for? And then I just put some context clues together, and then I opened up my mouth.
Would you mind walking around the corner and throwing yourself down the stairs and then coming back to the table whenever you're ready?
We were initially gonna call it just armor, but then we decided to just stick with our just RMR. And we wanted to do something that was a little bit different than we have really seen from anybody in this space yet. And that was really to bring in like multiple training plans from different athletes into like one specific location. So we really just kind of spearheaded this whole thing as a team. And it's been a lot of fun, man. Like we have business calls, marketing calls. Like it's something that we're taking very seriously because we want to continue to do this even like after we're done competing. You know, I'm 37, still doing the thing, you know, but like at some point I'm going to have to move on. So if I'm able to set myself up in some way to do that, I'm going to. And then just to like work with friends also. I actually had another company want to bring me on to their team they offered me a full-time salary like right from the jump. And I declined because I didn't really want to work for somebody. I wanted to work with somebody. So to be able to team up with Rich and Meg, you're just like working with your friends, you know, and it is a business. Like I said, we chat every single day and we have business strategies and business goals, weekly goals, monthly goals. Where do we want to be in 2 years, 3 years? So it's been a lot of fun and hopefully it just continues to grow.
With that opportunity with full salary right on board, was that before or after you got the news that you were let go from your job? And then now that you know that information, would you go back and take that?
No, it happened after. That's why it was so enticing. Mm. That's why I almost took it. But oof. I said, I think I can, we can build this up even bigger than that. So that's definitely been something to motivate me as well.
Cole Daddy wants to know if you're rich yet.
No.
If I can give you a piece of advice, dude, if you really expect to grow, you should start buying these books that really teach you how to manage business and teach you how to understand like communication and cycles and pitching and all that kind of stuff. But also you should start establishing yourself and the functions of your business as if you're going to become a big business already. Like we started out as what I call a lemonade stand business. And we were just like a bunch of kids on the corner being like, lemonade, lemonade. And yeah, cash would come in and be like, yeah, we're rich. And then all of a sudden we like looked, we're like, oh, how do we handle all this money? Like, how do we take care of ourselves? Like, how do we open up two lemonade stands? And we started from the structure of being idiots. Like we built our business on a cardboard box, if you get what I'm trying to say metaphorically. Mm-hmm. It will come around and you all of a sudden one day wake up and say, oh, I wish I had started this properly from the start.
For sure. I mean, I'm expecting mistakes to be made.
Well, you know? I'm saying learn early, fail early before the big the waves get bigger, if you get what I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's been hard for me to go in on that like I go in on my training, because I know you said earlier, like you're trying to win on the race course and you're trying to win in business too. I'm trying to get to that place to where like I have that same tenacity about growing business as I do with competing. And I think it just comes back to like just how long I've been doing this, you know, like it's been pretty much my identity. So it's hard to not put that like at the top of the priority list.
Well, one easy way to do it, to gamify it, I think it's really important for people who are athletes. Get yourself a calendar. This is how I started, and I still do it occasionally when I need to get motivated. Get yourself a calendar, and for every single day that you make sales, put a star down. Monday the 10th, sale. The 11th, like two sales. The 11th, zero sales. The 12th, three sales. This sales. And then you can put, once you start getting better at this, you can put an X on the days of cancellations and stuff like that. And what you can do basically is you can gamify it. And then all of a sudden you look at the post that correlates to that. So let's just say all of a sudden on that Monday the 10th, when you got two sales, you just posted a picture of like you in a six pack holding powerlift and it got you randomly two sales. But then all of a sudden, 2 days later, you did a very targeted post about RMR and you got like five sales. And now all of a sudden you can start to see what is actually interacting with customers, engaging with them. You have to gamify it if you come from the business standpoint of being an athlete first. So make it a game and you'll win it as a game.
I like it.
I that's the way I approached it at least. And I just sit here and I, you know, this is a game right here. I fill up a jar of all the good shit that's happened in my life.
Dude, X's and O's. X's and O's, baby.
Yeah.
There you go. Remember? So, like, your supplement company has, like, taken off a lot since really the last time we kind of hung out. I think you were still living in Boulder at the time. Yeah, I was gonna tell the story. I think it was right after I beat you in Chicago 2022. And then you invited me to your house in Boulder and we worked out. And you were like, yo, come check out this pre-workout I got. And I go to the kitchen, dude, and it just looks like a fucking like science project, like in the kitchen, dude. Like, I didn't even know if what you were giving me was gonna kill me in like 5 days.
No.
And it's just cool. It's been cool to see, you know, kind of how it's grown.
It's crazy, dude. I still do it. If you go into my house right now, if you go over to the cabinets, up top is like oatmeal, popcorn, and cereal. Next is like bowls, and the next is like, you know, that's just like it. And then all of a sudden, two shelves of purely supplements and powders, liquids, tinctures, pills for nighttime, like every single thing you can imagine. Like, you'd be convinced that I'm Pablo Escobar.
Dude,
like,
that sounds like my cabinet, honestly.
Yeah, dude. And it's got to be a passion, dude. It's got to be a passion. And like, I'm the first person to test out anything on myself. I'm like, okay, so these Olympians were taking this kind of supplement and they got up to this kind of level and they were doing these kind of things. I was like, I'll test it on myself. I'm like, oh, I feel so sick. You take sodium bicarbonate, you're fucking dying. Like, there's just things you got to test on yourself. And I call it field science. Like, I do all the lab research and I read and read and read, but I'm not going to take what I fucking read in a pamphlet. Like, I'm going to do it myself. And it's made a big difference. I mean, like, is there anything that you have in your routine that you consider to be your staples? Like, when I knew you back in the day, it was Oreos and peanut butter. Like, do you have a snack that you're really into? Do you have a supplement that you're really into? Is there like, are you a carb guy? Are you a keto guy? Like, what's your thing?
I'm definitely a carb guy. Big on carbs. The only supplement I'm taking is creatine right now.
Interesting.
I'm trying to think, man. Like,
is it just because you don't believe in anything else, or you just don't want anything?
I'm a little bit what's the word? Ignorant. I'm ignorant to this shit, man. Like, when all is said and done, and I look back on my athletic career, and I say, where is the place that I just like left something, you know, on the table? It would be in that department, for sure. Just like researching things that maybe could have made me 0.0001% better.
So, I just talked to a Tour de France coach today, and like, I'm talking to him about stuff, and like, I was just talking to him about some coaching stuff and analytics that I'm into. And this dude's like talking about like the way Lance Armstrong and other people were literally measuring their shoes. They were measuring the weight of their bike. They were measuring their food. They were doing this kind of supplement. They were doing everything outside of the steroids. The guy was still a fucking freak about everything. Everything had to be aerodynamic. Everything had to be measured. You know, he won 7 Tour de France's, which is crazy. It's just so crazy. And then we just had this guy on, Eric Murray, totally different mindset of an athlete. This dude won 8 world titles and 2 gold medals. And I think he won 71 races in a row, never defeated. And it didn't sound like he did anything. They were just like, he's like, our coaches just put us in the boat and they just made us row. Like, we'd put like tires and hoses in the water and drag them for our strength training. No strength training. I was like, do you take any supplements? He's like, creatine and, you know, sometimes sodium bicarbonate, but it would make me shit my pants. And he's like, nope, just meters. And then all of a sudden you have Lance Armstrong, probably just as competitive over that same window of time. And he's the science guy. And I think the thing that really comes down to that I've come to this conclusion of is, you are you. I am I. I'm a science guy. You're just like a hard work kind of guy. It's your fucking mindset. Like, if you think, like in the movie Space Jams, that you drink that water that's fake and you believe it's the thing that makes you win, if you believe that just like eating Oreos and peanut butter is the winning formula, you will win. And it's like, If I believe that being the science freak is the thing, I will win. I was listening to this piece where they were talking about how insane, like how insanely intense the placebo effect was. And they took, these doctors took 10 veterans that had just came back from war that had really bad arthritis in their knee. And they were willing to go through this, you know, experimental surgery. Two of them actually had the surgery. And then eight of them were only given incisions. They were all put under. They were only given incisions and had no surgery, just cuts. All of them, after the surgery, were walking perfectly fine. And it was the belief system that they all of a sudden had this surgery that cured them. Now they were all walking fine. So there's two people that actually had it. Now, was that surgery necessary? Well, based on the other 80% of the data, it wasn't necessary. All of these guys came back fine walking. And it just shows that, like, hey, like my mind believes this, everything's fine. And like I could tell you all the stuff that I take that makes you, would make you a champion more so, but all of a sudden you could start doing it and you'd be like, dude, I don't feel good. I don't like taking all these pills. I don't like this and blah, blah, blah. Like I'll admit to you, I started measuring my heart rate variability again just to get a little more data. And every single day it tells me I'm in the shittiest shape of my entire life.
And the more things you have, dude, the more things you become a slave to, you know, like I got Strava like a little while ago and I got addicted to that. And I was like, dude, I cannot.
Don't make me take my pants off in front of you and jerk off. I love Strava. I'm such a pervert. Like,
it's just anything and everything, man. So for me, it is nice to know, like, you know, if I need anything or like even want to bring it with me to a race, it's just like one little thing of fucking creatine, you know, like I don't need to pack a whole shit ton of supplements because I think that's the thing. If I need to drink this or eat this like the night before. I mean, I will say I'm a little bit superstitious with some things, but like, I'm not dependent on anything.
Do you eat vegetables?
I do, but not a ton.
Because your wife makes you?
Yeah. Yeah. I like broccoli. I like broccoli.
I never eat vegetables, dude. Like, I track my food. And
if I'm trying to trim down, I will just buy like raw cauliflower, broccoli, and just like eat it raw, like right out
the bat. I take green supplements. I'll say it correctly this time. I don't know who called me out on it. I think it was Caleb. He's like, you know, it's pronounced goalie, not gogly. But the goalie gummies, they started up apple cider vinegar and now they make everything under the sun. But I've been taking like greens for those.
I don't think that counts.
No, it doesn't. Oh, shit.
It counts.
Do you guys want to know this? I'm going to read off what I ate yesterday. And this is exactly my diet day to day. Sirius Mass, which is a mass gainer. 2 scoops, 1,200 calories, 4 cups of whole milk, Little Debbie's muffins, a pound and a half of ground turkey, 2 cups of Spanish rice, 3 tablespoons of honey, 2 pieces of Dave's Killer Bread, peanut butter, and jelly. That was my day, 4,468 calories.
I eat the same thing like every single day, except for dinner. Whatever my wife makes for dinner, I'll eat that. But for breakfast and lunch, it's usually like in the morning, it'll be rice. So like carb is always the foundation for me, rice, eggs, and then maybe like ham or breakfast sausage, and then just like stir it on up. And then for lunch, it's the same, rice, and then maybe like ground beef or ground turkey and like avocado. Wisp it on up, and then some junk food. Now? Chips are like my like salty fucking like Lay's chips. That's my shit.
Do you open the bag and sit with them on the couch, or do you have to pour them into a little bowl so you don't eat the whole bag?
Lay's chips is so like dirty.
I'm talking about the Pringle ones, the ones that are, it's like the
crisps,
whatever they're called, the Lay's.
Say, like, that's like dirty 4th of July, like, hey, I don't really like these people. I'm just going to leave some Lay's chips out for them kind of thing. It's gross. Yeah. When I have guests over that I don't really like that much, I'm like, hey, guys, got you some chips.
You guys want some
Lay's chips? You know I don't like you if I just take out a bag of chips.
To answer your question, Ryan, I cannot take a whole bag and put them on the couch because I'll probably end up eating the whole thing. So
that's what I do.
Get a little scoop, ball them up in the fist, hold them like this, and then just eat them right out the hand.
I hope I'm not blowing up your spot, but are you still drinking a bottle of wine every night?
Not a bottle, but I would say I drink almost nightly.
You're a fucking wino, dude.
I drank the night before Chicago.
Good. I mean, I'm saying, this is the kind of shit that I was talking about earlier. Like, if that's your thing, you got to do your thing. Otherwise, you're going to get out of whack.
Yeah.
It's
not like I'm sitting there just getting absolutely annihilated by drinking wine, but like.
You're kind of like the Dennis Rodman of High Rocks. Like, you just go out and just get wild, piss shit drunk, disappear, do crazy shit, and then show up and dominate. Is that who you are? Is that what you're telling us right now?
It might be.
I've cleaned up my acts. I'm an angel these days.
I stopped drinking for a while, man, and then
it doesn't
work. Like whenever stress starts popping up, which is pretty frequently around here, that's like I tend to go back to the wine, man. But it could be worse. It could be worse.
When I was in Europe this summer, I was ripping about 5 to 10 beers a day, sometimes 20 plus. And it's a different, I don't know why, but it just feels so good. I'm just like, I'm having the time of my life. And I'm not getting fat and I'm not being lazy on my work. Like, I show up.
Same. Yeah. But I started thinking that drinking the wine was somehow like I know alcohol dehydrates you, but like I was starting to think it was like topping off my glycogen storages and like clearly. It was like my secret sauce. So
gotta be
mindset.
It might be.
So I got to ask, like, what are your opinions of High Rocks these days? Like, what, you've been in it long enough to shape an opinion of like, what, how do you feel about the sport? Like, what do you think about the future of it? Are you like all eggs in the basket of High Rocks? Like, I know you're going to Decafit World Championships. You even kind of mentioned to me you might start doing Spartan Race again. Are you a High Rocks guy? Or are you just like, hey man, I'm an athlete competing in this space kind of thing?
Yeah, I don't try to look into the politics of anything. That is like, it kind of got me in trouble with my work at UPS. I just like whatever the system is, however the product evolves, I'm just along for the ride. Like I don't try to change anything. Maybe I did in the beginning. I kind of, you know, voiced my opinion a little bit more, but now I'm just like, dude, it's not even worth my time and effort and energy to get more involved than I already am. Go ahead.
I want to bust a rumor out. I heard, and I don't, this isn't against you at all, but I heard that they fucked up at championships last week and they didn't even put a plate on in time for you to pull the sled. And then they pulled the plates off for everybody else's sled. Is that true?
This is a rumor. I've not been confirmed. I heard this also, but it has not been confirmed by like an employee who works.
Of course, they're not going to fucking confirm that.
But yes, they said they were taking the weight off the push. And they realized they were 25 pounds short on the pull, but I was already coming into the rock zone, so they weren't able to change them all in time. So they just let everyone race with the same weight. But, dude, 25 pounds that's not going
to happen. No, I'm not judging you there, but, okay, I'll give you another example. High Rocks World
Championship. But, like, what would you do? What do you do in that situation?
You don't do anything. Like, it's the same thing that happened to us. High Rocks 2022. World Championships, they pulled a plate off. They just pulled a plate off randomly. In the rule book, it's X weight. They pulled 55 pounds off. So they broke their own rules. And, you know, then all of a sudden.
That was a time literally just minutes before the start of that race, I'm getting into like a heated argument with Mentra and somebody else. And like, it just like threw me. So it just threw me off. And I was like, dude, from now on, I'm just not getting involved.
Yeah. And then you and I both did I only do a burpee broad jump length short, or we both did a burpee broad length short?
You guys both got penalized for doing the same thing with their direction.
Yeah. So
under
then
the direction.
They sent us out. Like, there's another thing there. And then, you know, this thing happens here. And there's all these rumors of like, this course is short, that thing's fast. Like, I'm just asking from the opinion of probably the, besides myself, the most competitive guy in HYROX history. Like, what are your opinions on all this? Like, do you give a shit or are you just like, fuck it, what happens, happens?
A little bit of both, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, I to some degree, I give them a pass on some things just because this is a company that has only been around for like 4 years, 5 years. And they're going to learn things as they go. They're going to make mistakes and they'll learn from it, whether it's something that happens during a race or if it's the qualification system, which definitely needs to change because I'm one of the faces of this fucking thing. And I don't even know how to get in. Like, I just found out that I qualified for all the majors for next season by winning Chicago. I'm like, I didn't even know that was a fucking thing.
Congratulations. Woo, woo.
But it's like, what are these rules? This doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
Well, it's designed by Germans. So that's where it starts from. They're crazy. They're crazy. And they're very actually analytic. So I don't know. I don't know. I guess you just got to keep on running fast. Like, I guess the only thing I care about now is running fast and being able to get better media. Like, how did you feel about the broadcast?
Oh my God, it was bad, dude. It was so bad.
Dude, we were watching you guys do wall balls and it's just a pillar. It'd be like me doing this whole broadcast and basically having this podcast like this. It was so nuts.
We're like, we think Ryan is on the left side of them. We only see person two and three, and we think Ryan's on the other side of the pillar.
And they owned
it. And you're like, oh, I know, but like, how do you own that? Like, did they hire like a bunch of 14-year-olds like doing their like sophomore year media project? Like, how does that happen?
Right. Right. Yeah, that's not cool.
They sign a deal with Puma. They sign a deal with like all these major brands.
I think this is like a circumstance that happened that will actually make the coverage like exponentially better going forward because they will never want this to happen again. So it almost took a fucking shit show like what we saw this past weekend for them to be like, okay, like we've clearly got to do a lot better. And I think hopefully that can be kind of the thing that propels that forward.
I found a video of Hunter, you sent it to me, the forklift driving championships.
Yeah, I was like, there's better media for the forklift drivers. Like world class stuff. And it's like really exciting. You're like, oh my God, is he gonna drop it?
He's driving on like a teeter totter and he's got probably a 20-foot tall box that he's got.
It's brilliant. Yeah. And I was like, that's kind of why I wanted to quit a couple years ago. I was like, man. Like, I'm working my ass off, and it's like one of those kind of things. If a tree falls in the wood and nobody's around, does it make a sound? And right. I'm like, I think I'm like the hardest working.
So it's up on us. It's up on us. Nobody, to.
Yeah, I know. And it's one of these kind of things where it's like, I don't know. Like, do we unionize and start to have conversations and be like, yo, like, what is your lifestyle is actually my lifestyle too. And your results, my results of a life are in the palm of your hands. And when you do it like this, like I bet you right now, like if you, everything that we had done starting from the start of our career to now through Spartan Race, Tough Mudder, anything up till now, if it had the media that CrossFit had, you would be talking to me right now in a Lamborghini as you were driving around town with your son riding shotgun. Like you'd be a rich man.
Mm-hmm.
You would be. And like, life doesn't have to be all about money, but at the same time, it is something that alleviates a lot of the stress that comes with living.
Yeah.
100%. 100%. And when you're putting your,
yeah,
when you're dedicating your life to something, you'd like to be compensated fairly for it. And I think that they are doing a better job.
I'm not,
but.
They've gotten progressively better year after year, but the long shot of wall balls with the pillar in the middle with the number one guy finishing up, you know, his race and you can't even see them.
Yeah, that's no.
They fix it for the women. They fix it for the women's race. The women's race, they cut to the camera guy right in front of you, like within the arm bars.
Did anything stand out to you by the results at all?
What do you mean? What about them?
Have you looked at just like who finished where from the race this past weekend?
No. Oh, I mean, it's the Americans dominating.
Well, that, yeah.
Okay.
What else? Like, if you look at who the runners are in the field and who are more of the like strength athletes.
Yeah.
All of the runners finished in like the top 10 or 11. And it was guys like Wynn and Graham Holiday and Peter Schiller, like the dudes who, you know, running isn't their strong suit. Those were the ones who got spit out. Like if you couldn't run, you were freaking, you were getting crushed on this course, man, because the sleds were not what they were or what we are accustomed to where like it just fucking puts the brakes on, dude. Like that didn't happen. And it allowed, like, no offense to Rylan, but had those sleds been harder, I would have won that race by like 2 minutes.
So that was something I wanted to say, and like, take this with a grain of salt, meaning like, I'm not trying to diminish your results at all. You won the fucking race fair and square, but I was saying that in the broadcast. I was like, hey man, I've been doing this a really long time. I've known Ryan a really long time. I know all these athletes. I was like, these sled times do not make sense. I was like, you guys just went pew, 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 pew. And you're just like,
that's
how
I did it.
I know, but listen, man, I think you're a phenomenal athlete. You and I have been out, you beat me, I beat you. Like, we know each other at this point. I know those times were not very reflective of what really happens in a high rocks. Like,
no,
I just went and looked at my high rocks world championships and I went through the time today. I did a 225 sled. You beat me by 30 seconds. You beat me by 30 seconds in Chicago.
I never said this. I never said this about my world championship in Manchester, but I think I had a fucking everyone like. People are saying now there's certain lanes that are faster. And if we want to say that, I feel like I had a slow lane in Manchester because my sled push was so bad and it felt so heavy. Yeah. So I'm like, I don't fucking know anymore. All you can do is like race what's on the course. And I will say, in terms of like the time domain, whatever we gained from the sleds, we gave back on the grid. So like, had this been just like a normal course, I still think the times would have been what they were. And yes, I was coming into that push, dude. And I was just I was already visualizing myself like up on this thing, just like, just chopping my steps.
Chip, 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 chip.
And dude, I get up on this thing, lean my shoulder into it and just start, I didn't even like do anything. And it started moving. And
oh dude, when you guys were done pushing, the things were like slid a little bit further.
But you know what though? I went and looked at, so I thought these sleds were easier than the ones I did in Dubai about 2 months ago. And my splits indicated that, but Lauren, who was also in Dubai, she was significantly slower in Chicago than her sleds in Dubai, which I'm like, none of this shit makes any sense to me.
I don't think Weeks had a great race. I watched her and I debated everything and I watched it. And I was just analyzing everything. You could see it in her face. You could see everything. You could tell, at least for me in my career, the psychology of the other competitor is a humongous aspect. You watch them, the way that they hold themselves, the way they talk, the way they look with their eyes, everything. Like, you can tell when someone's glowing and you can tell when someone's lights are a little bit dim. And she just showed up and I just thought her lights were dim because I remember watching her in world championships and it was like as if she had a cord attached to her chest and she was being ripped forward. Like, she had horsepower. She didn't have it this time. Meg,
do you think that that happened because like Meg was in the picture this time and it maybe caught her off guard?
Well, dude, if you went back to, I remember watching European championships and watching like Michaela and them, like that's where it really started to break out and Michaela started to go and really started moving on the farmer's carries. All of a sudden you watched her, Lauren's light start to dim. You could see it in her body language. You can watch people's body languages entirely and know when they're starting to falter. Like I watched
100%.
Yeah. I remember when in Spartan race, like when I would be running, like it would be my number one goal when I passed somebody. I was like, Hunter, keep your back up tight, keep your chest tight, and do not breathe hard. Like, do not let them hear it. Like it's a game. It's really a game when you get up there and you're with these guys. You're like, hey, I gotta show something, even if I don't really have it in me.
You
I gotta show
it,
something different. You're bluffing. You're like, here are my fucking cards. I know it's a bunch of twos and threes. but I'm going to pretend it's aces.
Yes. That is the perfect analogy.
This guy says crispy dudes. I don't know what this is. Sorry. We'd love to bring you guys proper behind the scenes content like old school CrossFit. No one wants to watch the hype IG reel and shit event live stream. They want storytelling and character development. Well, crispy dudes.
Yeah.
That being said, I've sat down with High Rock several times, and I'm sure you guys have started to pick up. Like, I show up with the camera team every time. Just put your phone off. They don't want to really let go of that media presence. And I don't know why, but I think that's what made CrossFit was those documentaries that crushed, absolutely crushed. And I think that's probably the next level. Like, we need to make Ryan Kent a star. We need to make you a star so that when you go over to Europe, everybody wants to see you. When you're here in America, everybody wants to see you. Like, I'll admit, dude, I don't want to race in America anymore because it's embarrassing. Like, I went to LA and not one person really even noticed who I was. And it's not like I need to feel validated. I just recognize, I was like, this reflects on the performance of the brand here and it's not worth my time. Just not. It's like showing up to a track with the lights off. It's like, it doesn't seem like they're trying that hard. You go over to Europe, dude, I will fucking crowd surf from the entrance of London to the start line.
Like, it's crazy. If the U.S. market crumbled altogether, the sport would still be fine.
Totally.
Like, it's a different ballgame over there. Going to Manchester was like, I mean, I know it was the world championships, but even like Dubai was rocking, dude, like more than the States. I'm like, we're out here. I'm all the way across the world.
Yeah. While you're running Decafit, I'm going to be in Sweden and it's a fitness expo and I'm going to find my big buff Swedish queen. And literally,
I want to ask you, dude. I was going to ask you about that.
The big buff Swedish queen?
No. Going to Stockholm.
I'm super excited. I'm not doing training cycles like you are right now. I'm not trying to diminish my results. Like, I think I'm still going to fucking tear shit apart, but it's a little early for me to do this. Like, I don't like High Rocks. I like competing. So I'm not like foaming at the mouth to go back to a High Rocks. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's why I said, I'm like, did you take enough time off, dude? Because usually you start this shit in March or like February. Now,
but yo, November. I had a sour taste in my mouth, dude, after that race.
About world champs?
Oh, yeah.
Totally. And you came and you squashed that bug. Like, there's no doubt that you are still a weapon. You're arguably the most competitive guy outside of myself in this sport. Like, when you show up, you're dangerous. You're the only person who's really beaten me in competition, except for when I showed up chubby in 2021. But another story, another day. But basically, like, I don't really want to compete. I want to be home right now just bodybuilding and biking in the mountains. But I'm going to show up and fucking go to war, dude.
So, Ryan, you said you won a bid for next year's champion or next year's like majors or whatever. But do you know if you – I mean, you had to have qualified for world championships, right, with this win? Or does that qualify you for
worlds? Well, he's definitely in worlds.
Yeah,
you have to finish top three on at one of the majors to get into worlds.
Okay.
So yeah, it's kind of nice to just like knock that out right from the jump.
Are you going to do Vienna and everything?
I'll do Vienna and DC.
I will admit my aim is Vienna also, but there's a slight chance if the Detroit Lions go to the Super Bowl, I'm in. I'll bankrupt the company if I have to. I'm getting tickets. Like, they're never going to make it again. In my lifetime.
I had no idea you were a Lions fan.
All right. No joke. My grandfather was the head chairman of the Silver Dome. So my whole family's from Michigan and Pontiac originally. And it was the Pontiac Silver Dome. And my grandfather was a very successful news guy and news media guy back then. And he got a role in the Silver Dome. And we were such small kids. It did not matter to us. We were in like the boxes and we were watching the games every single Thanksgiving. We had no fucking clue we were watching. We just sat there and drank like the Coca-Colas and stuff. And, you know, family means a lot to me. And I was like, if the only thing that's really holding this family together in sports is just the memories of those, like, I was like, I'm diehard Lions forever. Like, that's the only real That's the only real touch point I have with sports in my entire life, except for a couple Patriots games for my grandfather, other grandfather.
You're like, I did not. I'm like, you're either New York or Cali. I did not know about this Michigan.
Mom's from Rhode Island. Dad's from Michigan. They both met in New York City when they were working, and that's how they got married and connected. But yeah, I'm a Michigan gangster. I guess my family are Michigan gangsters. Like, you know, we would go there. Every summer we would go there. We'd march in the Highland Games, and you know, everybody would dress up in kilts and stuff and carry swords and the McIntyre flag. Like, we're pretty Michigan. And then the reason why I spend time in Rhode Island every summer is because my mom lives there and my brother and I grew up in Connecticut. So that's our little triangle.
Well, hey, if you want to miss Vienna, dude, and dodge me again, I mean, that's
No. I want people to know ahead of time so that Hunter's like, oh, Hunter's dodging this. I'm like, I'm telling you guys right now, if DT makes it to the Super Bowl, I'm streaking on the field.
Like, be that guy.
They won't catch me, dude. I'm a fitness race champ. What are you going to fucking do, dude? I'm fucking shut up.
They're going to go to tackle you and you're going to shoulder them to the ground.
100%, dude. I'm like, let me shift your pads around, bitch. Yeah, it's going to be good. Do you have a team?
Washington Commanders, unfortunately.
What the fuck's with that? I mean, well, do you miss the Redskins?
No comment.
Dude, do you know there's a lawsuit from like one of the
Indian chiefs that are saying, hey, we want you to change the names back.
Yeah, there's like, I don't understand. It's like you wanted to pin them to the cross if they didn't change it, and now it's like going the other way.
I don't think so, dude. I think usually most things are stirred up by a bunch of like white sissy liberal people. And then they just hold like a flag in front of the group that they're trying to defend. And then people are like, why are you guys here? Like, do you remember like when BLM was going off and it was like a lot of the riots had to do with just like crazy fucking white people? Like, it was just crazy. Like, people were just, I was like, what are you guys fucking doing? I was like, what the hell is happening right now?
Doing here?
Kyle Rittenhouse has got a machine gun and people are attacking him. I was like, there's no black people involved in this. This just seems like an opportunity to throw rocks through windows. This is not a political podcast, but I don't know. It stirs my pot a little bit. I'm traditional. I miss the Redskins.
Oh, Bartok Media on the pod. Comments catching up with the live. We will have them on soon.
I don't know what the hell she's talking about. That doesn't make any sense to me. High Rocks needs to work on their sports promotion company to create celebrities in the sport. Been really successful with boxing, darts, and pool in the UK. Dude, do you remember what was the name of that guy in pool and bowling who was like a real big shit talker and he'd bowl with sunglasses on? He was like a champion. Like, he became a god through bowling. Like, there's sports. Like,
I was what I am.
Yeah. Yes. Who's that? I am. Like, that kind of shit. And you're like, that quote right there echoes through time and sports globally. And it's bowling. It's bowling. Like, it's really not that savage. And that dude is way.
You just got to say one thing, dude. Just.
I don't know.
It's not going to be our performances. It's going to be, we need a phrase. We need some ridiculous catchphrase.
I hope, man. So, like, you got Peter Vienna Webb coming up. You got DC coming up.
I've got DECA coming up in. Yeah. Well, actually, no. I'm going to Dallas this weekend to team up with Meg with mixed doubles.
Oh, you are?
That'd be fun.
Yeah.
Oh, you guys will scoop that record up in a heartbeat.
We're going to snag that. And then 2 weeks later, I got DecaFit Worlds. And then I have 10 weeks until Vienna. So I'm basically going to redo the same 10-week training block that I did for Chicago. But I'm starting, my fitness is starting from like a different place than I was. So I'm going to like up the volume a good bit.
How much do you weigh right now?
Like 183, 184.
God, that's the size of a house cat. I am such a fat bitch. I was 215 and
I've told you the other day, dude, your body fluctuates. Your body weight fluctuates more than anyone I've ever fucking met.
You ever seen a bear though? Like, in off season, bears are all chubby and shit.
That's true.
Wait until I lose my weight, bitch. You're in trouble. And then they come out and they're savages, like, ah.
And like, I know the way you like to train, and I think there's validity to it, like really just spending the off season, just getting fucking as strong as you can. And I think that clearly like works for you, but like, I personally haven't experienced like a massive performance increase from spending like a ton of time just on like my strength training. I keep it in there, but like, it's never the sole focus to say like, let's get as strong as I can. And then we're going to rip the fat off and like, I'll be fucking fast as shit or whatever, you know?
Yeah. I mean, dude, in season, I don't really strength train that much. Like I get
once a week right now.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. So like, that's what I get down to also, but I'm doing 3 sessions of strength training a week right now. Like it's like heavy ass weights. I got to be moving plates. Like I'm trying to put 3 plates minimum on every bar that I touch. Like I got to move weight and you know, it's my style. It would probably fuck up a lot of people. You have to accommodate like this much of resistance. Just like probably if you started coaching somebody right now, they're like, hey man, how many miles do you do a week? And you're like, no, don't start there. That's a bad idea. You're going to start with 20 miles a week. I'm 60 miles a week. And it's going to take you about 6 to 18 months to get up to my mileage minimum. Same exact thing. If I told you to strength train, like I do, like it may just give you tendonitis, anything. So I don't know. It's one of those kind of things where it works for me.
Yeah,
hey, we've had several people in the comments ask this, so can we get a exclusive on this? Are we going to see a Ryan Kent and Hunter McIntyre double up for men's dubs?
Yo, we listen. Hold on, time out before Hunter even speaks. We briefly months and months ago, maybe like 6 months ago, we talked about it, and then he went behind my back and teamed up with Mr. Jonathan Wynn.
Hear me out for a second. This also got me in trouble. With my old training partner, Hogan. Hogan and I were going to race. I was planning on racing a race with Hogan. And then all of a sudden, Hogan broke his foot. And without even really telling Hogan I was going to do this, I just called John. I was like, okay, this guy's got a broken foot. I'm not going to – like, I was going to stick it out with Hogan and go do an event. And I was just going to start the year off like that. Then I called John. I was like, hey, John, I'm already going to be over there. Like, I know you're close by. Do you want to do it? And it was one of these kind of things where it was like, I'm just throwing a penny into a pond. Like I'm not building this bridge of intention around this thing. But I think you and I could probably pull off if you want to do LA, if you want to do a race in March.
LA soon. Very soon.
Yeah, LA is pretty soon. That's December, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, but dude, I mean, who gives a fuck? Doubles is one of these kind of things where it's just like run. And if you pee blood afterwards, just whatever.
I could be like into that. I could be into that.
I was going to talk to you next about DECA. Like, tell me about your ambitions with DECA. And if you have the results you want to get at DECA, I'm sure you probably just roll forward and nab. You're going to get the doubles record in Dallas. It'd be silly if you didn't. I'm assuming you're going for a world title in DECA. Tell us about that.
Yeah. I mean, last year I did all 3 DECA Strong, DECA Mile, DECA Fit, finished first in DECA Strong and DECA Mile, finished second in DECA Fit behind Rich. So he kind of fucked up my whole triple crown thing. So the goal this year is to win
you
all
got
3.
You got the double and the fit or strong?
Or fit and the, or no, mile and the strong. So the goal this year is to try to go back and win all 3, but like, it's going to be hard, man. Like Rylan is very, very fit right now. And, we were actually joking in Chicago about like meeting up in a couple weeks for DECA and just like, cause there's one event each day, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And it's just going to be like a weekend bloodbath, just like trying to rip each other's throat out for the world title. You know, like I respect all the guys, but he's like the guy I'm like, fuck man, I got to beat this guy. And he has the potential to beat me in all 3. So we'll see. But at the end of the day, like this DECA Worlds to me isn't, I don't put that in the same category as High Rocks. Like this is more for funsies. Like I haven't been doing any DECA specific work. It's been High Rocks. And now I'm just going to try to sharpen down as quickly as possible, switch my movements from High Rocks to DECA movements and just hope for the best. And then it's like, okay, let's get ready for Vienna.
Okay, so I think the High Rocks strength and running would translate well going High Rocks to Deca, but I don't know that the intensity that would be involved of a person training specifically for Deca would translate or transmit the back over to going to High Rocks, you know, inverse.
Yeah, for sure. And I've experienced that myself. Yeah, like the engine is there for Deca. You just need to sharpen the sword. Mm-hmm. You know, and if you can do that, you're gonna be fine.
So I gotta ask you about like fitness racing versus hybrid racing. Like how like fitness racing I would consider to be High Rocks Deca Fit. Hybrid competition is like kind of the overarching thing where it's like not really CrossFit, but it's like more of like strength conditioning tests.
Mm-hmm.
And like, how do you feel about the fitness racing industry? Like, do you think DecaFit is going to level up and become a more competitive thing? Or do you think it's always going to be more of like a pit stop on the way to High Rocks?
Probably the latter, honestly. Like, yeah. I don't see them, like Yancey has said, like their sport is about, you know, the open athletes. Like it's not, it just happens to be something that the elites can also do. That's what they've said. So clearly they're not in the business of trying to grow a sport. So
yeah,
simply because of that, I'm not going to invest all of my time and energy into it when there is another event, High Rocks, that does seem to care about growing the sport side, at least more so than Deca, you know? So it's a bummer because I'd really like to take both of them more seriously. I'd love for you to come over to Deca too and like give it a go, but I see why you don't, you know, like it's just not even like worth your time. So, but their business model is good. I think they will continue to succeed because they went the CrossFit route with the whole affiliate system. But they are terrible when it comes to paying the athletes who win their competitions. It's basically Spartan. It's Spartan all over again.
Nice, dude.
Just fucking Deca.
It's not cool to poo-poo brands because now that I own a business, like I recognize how hard it is. Like we're to the line often being like, hey man, like, are we going to be able to get through this month? Like shit. Like, hey, a truck flipped over with all of our supplements, buy new ones. Oh, this, oh, that. You're just like, woo. Like there's a lot behind all this stuff that people don't get, and owning a business and putting on events or all that kind of stuff, you start to recognize what's really behind the scenes and you grow to appreciate brands more. But I still stand by the fact, like, I don't think DecaFit's not worth my time. I just don't think they make it worth our time. Like, I don't think that they, as you said, they don't care enough about it. So why would I care? Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, going on a date with a chick who shows up to the dinner like an hour late. It's like, oh, you didn't really prioritize this. This is something that you kind of just, it's just part of your week. Like, you know, why would I be interested in valuing my time and your time when it doesn't seem like you value mine? So I just don't know about DecaFit. Like I don't want to go participate in something because you and I have literally been lily padding from brand to brand that have like died as we're standing on it, as we jump to the next one. Like not a lot of athletes have experienced that. Like we're standing on top of that lily pad from Spartan Race. I'm like, oh fuck, Tough Mudder. I'm like, oh gosh. Like, oh, this is pretty nice. This feels pretty stable. I'm like, oh no, Tough Mudder's dying too. Oh, High Rocks. And I don't got much more of it in me.
For sure. To answer your question though, about the overarching like hybrid fitness right now, I've warmed up to the idea of these other competitions coming in and these athletes just being like a whole different athlete, you know, that's winning these things. My biggest thing was the whole hybrid athlete like title. I, cause for me, I'm competing in the sport, whatever, I don't even know if you want to call it that, but like, I feel like I'm the hybrid athlete. And then just these random YouTube guys would like bench press and then go run a 5K and be like, fucking hybrid athlete. And I'm like, dude, no, I'm him. I'm the hybrid athlete. So fucking stop that shit.
I know, dude, but that's it. That's the thing that I keep on trying to say to you, dude, is like, if a tree falls in the wood and nobody's around, does it make a sound? Like, when you have somebody go out and do an Ironman that's 2 to 3 hours slower than mine, and then they like try to like deadlift 400 pounds and everyone's like, hybrid athlete, woo! But they have 100,000 followers on YouTube. Like, everyone's like, oh my gosh, this is the best. I've got nothing against Nick Bear, but Nick Bear has like continuously done far less athletic achievements than me his entire life. Yet his brand is trumps mine by 20 times. Mm-hmm. Like, there are more people that look up to Nick Bear than me by so much that like, I'm not jealous. Jealous is probably the wrong word. Like, of course I'm jealous. I'm like, God damn, that's amazing. Congratulations. Fuck me. I'm not sad. I'm just going to go all in on the things that I think will give us the chance. And that is High Rocks. But I will say, like, GORUCK Games when I went was awesome. Like, HyperCon Games this year was awesome. I think Rally in the Valley was awesome. And I think it's really cool that these brands are trying to do something. And like, you can even see Tactical Games. Like, I don't really need to shoot guns, but fucking A, do I want to go compete against these guys and shoot guns and throw some shit around? So like, do you have any like ambitions of going that way? Or,
dude, I'm on the High Rock ship till it fucking sinks.
Yeah.
Do people keep on saying they can't hear me? Can you guys hear me clearly? Yeah.
My kid is going to cry. Like, drifts away, I got to get ready to roll.
Dude, do whatever you got to do. Daddy, it was great spending time with you, dude. This was awesome. I really hope everything works out for your brand. I'm really looking forward to racing against you in the best shape possible for both of us this year. Listen, man, like, you're the old guard, and there's a lot of new threats coming in, like Rylan. Like, go do your fucking job in DECA, dude. Like, you got gray hairs on your balls that hold experience.
Not my balls, but
old gray bush.
Nah.
Dude, good old gray bush. Dude, you better cook it, dude.
For sure. I take a lot of pride in whooping up on these young guns like VJ and Rylan. Both my friends, but there's certain pride about being, you know, 14 years older than these guys and still giving them the business. So.
That's like what I did with Spike.
It's what Hobie did to me.
Yeah, dude. We're the Hobies now.
That's it.
We're the Hobies and Cody Motes. Well, dude, it was great having you on. I had an absolute blast. Congrats again in Chicago. And I guarantee you're going to get that record in Dallas. And I really am looking forward to seeing you absolutely annihilating it in the weekend of December 3rd for DECA Worlds. Is there going to be a live stream people can watch?
Yeah. Yep.
We might do some commentating.
You'll be in Sweden, bro.
I know, but I'll still log on a computer and just talk some shit.
All right.
Dude, rock and roll.
Good luck to you, bro.
All right. I'll tear them up, dude. I'm ready to fucking put the pipes to these.
It's America all the way, man. Look, like, it's the only way. I held it down first major. You hold it down the second major. And then we go to war at the third major.
Fuck yeah.
All right, dude. No mercy. All right, boys. It was good seeing you guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. And we're over and out.
Later.
Sweet peace.